Hagman and Hagman coming at you full force tonight. Yes, we have a full house, even including our coughing daughter, Jackie, my daughter, Jackie. She's going to be taking care of the social networking. More on that later. You got a couple of surprises for you. You know, there's a lot of news, a lot of headlines really out there, and we need to be paying close attention to what's going on, folks. Before we get back to the news and analysis of that, you heard Alan Riggs on our program earlier this week. Folks, Greenovative, it's a small company in Florida. They've created what's known as the GMAG power cell. It produces electricity. It's a device that produces electricity just by adding salt water. The newest development is the Super GMAG battery recharger. They've got a replaceable magnesium power box. Super GMAG charger will charge 6 1,000 milliamp hour AA or AAA rechargeable batteries in about 3 hours, over 20 times per pair of power pucks. You don't need sun, you don't need wind or a hand crank. All you need is a little ordinary table salt, about 2 teaspoons worth, and a little water. Shake for a few seconds and the unit instantly makes electricity. Using magnesium as the power source, just adding salt water makes power instantly available. Super GMAG, that chargeable is affordable, lightweight, it weighs about 8 ounces, durable, EMP proof, and environmentally friendly. GMAG charger will provide convenient and safe power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid or when the power sources are not available. Anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night, Super GMAG charger has an indefinite shelf life and will charge an unlimited number of batteries by replacing the power pucks. You know what? Even if you don't have salt water available to you, if the worst comes to worst and, man, you are in the thick of it, yeah, a little urine will run the pack. If you're alive, you've got power. Having no moving parts and able to provide enough power to charge about 130 batteries per pair of power pucks, Super GMAG more than pays for itself during use. Hey, you need power, just add water. Folks, go to greenovative.com or hagmanreport.com. Look for Greenovative. What a wonderful prepper's tool. It's invaluable. It's ingenious. We use it here at the Hagman Studio. Thank you for that, Alan Riggs. Now, you know, the train derailment in New Jersey today. Did y'all see that? The train hopped the tracks. Okay, 1 dead, 100 injured.
Some say 3 dead, 100 injured.
Yeah, the numbers are fluid. But look, folks, you know, it could very well be mechanical error, operator error. Who knows? But what bothers me about this, and tell me if you agree with it, what bothers me is the fact that didn't we just have a bomb over there in the Elizabeth, New Jersey station?
Yes.
Okay. Is this just coincidence? Is it coincidence?
You know, that's a good question. And investigators are looking into different possibilities as to what caused this train derailment. But one thing that is they are sure of is that the train company had a few years, I think it was 3 years, to put in these automated speed systems,
right,
where they would,
yep,
slow down the speed of a car if it was approaching its destination, or if it seemed that it was going too fast for what it was supposed to be doing. And for some reason, they have not been implemented yet. Leaving many to ask. I mean, I've even seen speculation on the internet as people saying, you know, due to the 15,000 refugees Obama's brought over here, you know, spending money on that rather than making sure that the rail systems had the proper updates and were safe. You know, that's more hyperbole, I think, than anything else. But there is definitely some... there's something strange, like you said. Is it a coincidence? Is it is there something going on in this part of the country that we need to keep our eye on? There is definitely something odd about this, and it's very sad to see in this day and age that we continue to see these, you know, mass casualty, mass injury events like these train crashes when we have such advanced technology. You know, they're trying to roll out these automated driverless cars now.
Yep.
And, you know, every other day we see articles on how these driverless cars continue to crash and even kill people in instances. But yet they say by 2025 we're going to have driverless cars will be the new norm. There will be no car ownership. And it just makes you wonder what's really going on with this. But, yeah, the train crash is one thing that it's been on the front of Dredge for most of the day, and they said that it's they're searching for answers. Police question train engineers. They even say cars went airborne. Technology to avoid collision was missing. And that's what we just spoke about earlier, is these sensors that were supposed to help stop the trains if they got a too high rate of a speed near stops.
Yeah.
So hopefully this is the only time we see this. And is it terror related? They have not ruled that out as of yet.
But it's little things like this that will really the little, when I say little, that's not to minimize of the damage or the deaths or the injuries, but you know, it's not an obvious explosion or something like that. It's these little incidents that collect, and these are the things I believe we have to watch, because we're so busy looking at the bigger things or looking for the bigger things, we're not seeing the smaller things. If I can jump into something real quick here, Joe, I wrote an article today. It's right now, if you want to comment on it, it's on the cover of Canada Free Press. The title of it is Poster Child for Progressive Policy of Illegal Immigration. I don't know how many people have seen this recounting of events.
Folks, the bookmark HagmanReport.com.
Yes.
Each and every day, there is fresh new content up there. And each and every day, there is fresh new content up there.
Yes.
Not only by my father, but JD, Eric the Tech, myself, and others. The site is being populated much more frequently. It is staying current, fresh, with the most topical and important news.
It's important show prep.
Check it throughout the day, not just in the morning, because it changes, and it changes fast.
Well, and this is up on HagmanReport.com. And again, if you want to comment on the article specifically, which does raise its visibility, you go to CanadaFreePress.com and find the article, which is the Poster Child for Progressive Policy of Illegal Immigration. A guy by the name of Sylvester Franco Luviano. He's 40 years old. Now think about this. This guy is a Mexican national. He's from Mexico. He's in the United States illegally. He first entered the United States illegally in 1996. He was deported after a criminal conviction. This guy came across the border, committed crimes, caught, sent back to Mexico. Well, now, he then re-entered the United States in 2009 and was caught again and deported. And again in 2011, he was arrested in Austin, Texas, by the way, and sentenced to 8 months in jail after a series of crimes. He was ultimately deported back in 2014. Now, I'm not sure what he's done between 2011 and 2014 after serving the minimum jail sentence. But the border patrol agents at the border have been told to stand down by Obama, even to such an extent that Breitbart was reporting this. In February of last year, Obama issued a warning to Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials, ICE agents, telling them to stop deporting illegal aliens, at least the ones without felonies. Don't do that anymore. And the Border Patrol agents and ICE officials are saying, first of all, that's against the law. And what are we here for? Well, let's get back to old Sylvester, because it was Monday last, during the early morning hours, when he began his murderous spree in a northern suburb of Austin, Texas, folks. It's on the screen. If you're watching this live via YouTube now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how many people ever had to, whether you were a police officer, or whatever your position might be, have you ever had to go to a family and deliver the news of a loved one's death? How about a loved one's murder? Have you ever had to do that? Yeah, if you have, you know it's a bad time. It's even worse receiving that news. But the senseless aspect of this, the lawlessness of this, which you'll never hear on the progressive Democratic National Socialist idiots in the media, is the fact that this guy entered the country illegally, not once, not twice, but three times, and then went on a murder spree this past Monday, killing two people, and he was out there shooting cars at random, in addition to hijacking or carjacking other vehicles and terrorizing families. This guy is a criminal putz. All right? I mean, you know what? I'm going to reserve that word putz to the people, for example, who think that we are doing a service to these people by giving them a path to citizenship. Or in this case, perhaps blaming the guns or gun ownership as opposed to those pulling the trigger, especially the illegals in this country. Folks, if you're not righteously angry, you're not paying attention. If you don't have righteous anger in your body, you're not paying attention. And if you think this is all right, if you think that sanctuary cities all across the United States, if you think that's a good idea, if you think that these poor Mexican people and poor immigrants, poor other than Mexicans coming across the southern border, are doing so just to follow their dream, then you're delusional. Sure, I'm sure there are some. But go through the front door, not through the windows, not through the back door. And certainly don't break down the back door. But the big takeaway from this is this. You've had decades upon decades of opportunities to shut the border down, to follow the law when it comes to illegal immigration. But you've got George W. Bush and his cadre of progressives, globalists, who have chosen not to. As a matter of fact, not only have they chosen not to, him and Obama and others in charge, including the Gang of Eight and the people in the Congress right now, have laid out, they might as well have dropped maps into Mexico and other countries and saying, here, follow the yellow brick road or follow the lines, follow the breadcrumbs into this country. Because you see, this is not a failure of policy. This is a policy success by the Democratic National Socialist Progressive Globalist putzes. They're trying to destroy our country from within, and this is the only way they can do it. And with the influx of immigrants, illegal aliens, that is, with this influx, are people who want to destroy this country. And that Border Patrol agent is cited in the article saying, you know what? It's the poorest border, and anyone can get through the southern border at just about any time. And Obama is threatening to prosecute and persecute those people charged with border security for, in fact, securing the border. This is ridiculous. It's backwards. And we need to make it a priority. So we need to, in my view anyway, the situation, when you have to put a sign up down, Joey, the signs are down there on the southern border, even 50, 100 miles into America, where it says, you know, the illegals, illegal crossing, like a deer crossing sign. Really? Really? And the possibilities of you getting raped, carjacked, your house broken into, in that area is absolutely, the numbers are, the statistics are outrageous. And I know people will say, well, you can't prove that, there are no statistics. And that's true to some extent. The feds in particular do not permit those statistics from being gathered. But the bottom line here is this. The doors, the gates, the border, wide open. And God help this country.
Yeah.
You know, it's as Savage says, borders, language, and culture. We lack the borders. The language is being just assaulted every day, and our culture is being assailed by this balkanization of this country.
You want to look into the potential future of America and the religious freedom or oppression that we will see. Look no further than China, as China launches religious winter in bid to destroy Christianity in fierce crackdown. Christians are preparing for a harsh religious winter as the Chinese authorities ban them from traveling in the latest government crackdown. This is a startling piece of information. The Chinese Communist Party is tightening its grip on worship and has released a new set of religious restrictions to come into place next month. All unofficial religious activity will be suppressed, with house churches forced to disband and strict travel restrictions in place as China continues its attempt to undermine the Vatican. The ruling Chinese Communist Party is officially atheist, with more than half of the China's 1.4 billion population not associated with any religion or belief. Those following one of China's five officially recognized religions, Buddhism, Taoism, Islam, Catholicism, or Protestantism, and affiliated with one of the corresponding state-sanctioned patriotic religious associations, are protected in theory from the government's war on religion. But a newly discovered documents reveal Christians will not be exempt from the regime's persecution. In an attempt at democracy, the draft has been sent to the public for consultation before the regulations come into force, only in 1 week, October 7th. One of the new rules says it will be an offense to organize citizens to attend religious trainings, conferences, and activities abroad, preaching, organizing religious activities, and establishing religious institutions or religious sites at schools, and providing religious services through the internet. In a bid for the new rules to be accepted, the government claims some of the restrictions are in the interest of state security. There will also be limits on accepting teaching posts in foreign countries and organizing religious activities in unapproved religious sites, allowing the government to monitor state-controlled churches and stamp out any underground religious movements. The regime is known to make changes to religious affairs every 10 years, with the last set of laws being unveiled in 2006. A pastor told an advocacy charity, China Aid, studying the newly revised regulations on religious affairs, it is evident that the party wants to take charge of religion. The government wants to control everything, even the smallest aspect. One characteristic of the draft is the empowerment of local government bodies all the way down to the communities. This revision will further reduce the possibility of loosening religious controls in China. It is becoming impossible. The latest crackdown has been branded as alarming by one U.S.-based pastor. And the pastor of the church said, "We can see that the government is clenching tighter and tighter on Christianity, Catholicism, Buddhism, and Islam. The laws are becoming more and more specific and detailed when suppressing Christian family churches, Catholicism, and all other underground religions." And the article goes on to talk about the powerful legal base for future suppression of the religions and how the conditions of religious freedom in China will continue to worsen. They say that this draft will bring upon religious winter so harsh that we must seek guidance from God, says the pastor. But overall, they said that this is some of the most oppressive restrictions and controls on religion ever drafted. In their words, is the goal of indoctrinating minors, brainwashing children, or to not indoctrinate minors or brainwash children into superstitious beliefs, such as religious beliefs. And this is just something that we are seeing here in America, the crackdown of religion being taught in schools and public places, and just in all areas of our public and now becoming private lives. Switching gears here, I don't know how many saw this. You know that bill the president vetoed to disallow U.S. citizens from suing Saudi Arabia over 9/11.
And Congress reaffirmed it.
White House lashes out at embarrassing Senate veto override. The White House lashed out at the Senate Wednesday for overriding President Obama's veto of legislation that would allow U.S. citizens to sue Saudi Arabia over the September 11 terrorist attacks. I would venture to say that this is the single most embarrassing thing that the United States Senate has done since 1983, Obama spokesman Josh Earnest told reporters aboard Air Force One. Earnest was responding to a reporter who told him Wednesday's vote was the most overwhelming since a 95-0 vote in 1983. In that year, the Senate overrode Reagan's veto of a land bill to give a few acres to six retired couples who paid for it, but later learned it was still government property because of surveying error. Anyway, the Senate voted 97-1 Wednesday to override Obama's veto, and the House is expected to hold its override vote on Wednesday afternoon, which is expected to pass by a wide margin. It will be the first time Congress successfully negates Obama's veto. The vote was a major blow to Obama, prompting questions about his diminishing sway over Capitol Hill and foreign policy months before he leaves office. Now, this bill will have, if the House continues with the veto, it will allow families to sue Saudi Arabia over 9/11. Saudi Arabia has threatened to pull billions of dollars, if not more, in currency from the United States financial system, but also to hold back oil if this is allowed to go through. So where is that going to leave us? I think we will find out soon, but it does not look good, which begs the question, was Obama right to veto this? And was the Senate, or was the Senate right to override his veto? And is this going to create a international, I mean, because the U.S. and Saudi Arabia are very close allies. Is this something that's, is this a straw that's big enough to break the camel's back in our relationship between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia? That's the question.
Domestically, we've got a situation now that, as we see, we're looking at things heat up between the progressives, the Democratic National Socialists, the globalists, that is, the followers, the foot soldiers of the Hillary, okay, of the Hillary globalists, of Obama, the, those people. And you know, it's interesting, you go back and you remember when Obama was talking about creating this great civilian army. Great civilian force, and then you see these groups pop up like Black Lives Matter and other these other leftist groups that, that have their roots in the 60s Alinsky globalist mindset. And now we see, as we see the election winding down, you're seeing the campaigning winding down or winding up. It doesn't really matter what your take is, but what we're seeing here is, there are more and more fights breaking out between Trump supporters and Hillary supporters. Now, it doesn't matter the man or
there was
the
a woman,
person.
Just, okay. I mean, just today there was a woman attacked for wearing a Trump hat.
Yes.
There was another man attacked by a Black Lives Matter movement.
Well, you're seeing defacement of property, not so much by Trump supporters, but by Hillary supporters and Sanders supporters.
Did you see the guy got electrocuted trying to steal Trump Sanders?
It was a woman, actually, that, you know, but, I'm sorry, there was a guy, and then there was a woman who, they attached there was a fishing line spread across. Yeah, anyway, yeah, there were numerous occasions where they were videotaped, but the point of the matter is this. The rift among families, friends, employers, and employees, and workplace people within workplaces, and even churches and communities, is getting deep, is getting severe, is getting the rift is getting much greater, and this is being stoked up by both the media to a large extent, as well as the people, the community organizing type people. You've got some money being funded to the protesters/rioters.
Did you see that email I sent you?
Yes.
Did you read through that?
Yes.
Okay.
So what you've got is this, you've got this crazy but yet effective influx of money, resources, and, well, people are being handled. There's the foot soldiers, the pawns in this, the people, you know, that you can almost tell who they are, okay, just by their appearance, because they're, well, you can I'll just leave it at that. They
just think
are,
of this before the break. You know, you have George Soros here as an example. He funnels $1 million to 10 different people. You know, they funnel that $1 million each,
yes.
100,000
yes.
to 10 different people. So you have like 100 people. All of them, you know, now have their money and their marching orders on the ground, and it all goes back up to the people at the top.
Well, right, right. And the people at the top are the ones who are the architects of the communist agenda back in the 60s, the Alinsky, the Che Guevara, all of that back in the 60s. But here's what I'm getting at. In short, we are going to see this deepen and get worse. And even, and this is not going to stop after the election. Trust me when I tell you this, this is going to be seeded even greater after the election, especially if Trump prevails and manages somehow to get in and stay in. I can guarantee you this is going to get worse, and that the epicenter of this will be the globalists using organizations like Black Lives Matter as pawns. We're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at. Casting criminals in Washington, you just, wow. You know, released yesterday, I believe it was, the no follow-up after Huma Abedin caught in falsehood. Now, we know the ties Huma Abedin has to the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, and as much as the people, the progressives, the leftists, the Hillary supporters, the blind animals that follow the Hillary mindset and mantra, as much as evidence upon evidence and stacks of evidence that shows the not just the criminality but the Islamic infiltration that we've been warning about. And this goes back, folks, this Islamic infiltration goes back to the very issue, the birther issue. And you know, this kind of really chops my pancakes. I don't know, man, when you think about it, this could have all been mitigated, perhaps, had people, especially the leaders in this country, the so-called self-proclaimed progressive leaders and their mouthpieces with the big talkers, had said, wait a minute, we don't even know who this numbskull, Barry Satoru, Barack Hussein Obama II is. We don't have his papers. And the piece of crap that you brought in 2011, you can't even authenticate that, and those who've investigated have verified that it's most likely a forgery, and that goes back to the cold case posse, in addition to other and even more capable hands. But the bottom line is, you got Huma Abedin, you know, in the second seat with Hillary Clinton and the Department of State. And now it comes out where she lied to the FBI. She lied to Congress email, with regard to the email situation. She knew all about it. I'm not going to get into the story, but the fact is, the lawlessness is unfettered. It's just there. I mean, Al Capone, if he was working today, if he was alive today, man, you know, of course, maybe they go after him, or either that or put him on their side. Got an announcement real quick to make tonight. Folks, this is exciting. This is bringing our daughter Jackie into the fold. God bless her. And you've helped do this. Through your support, you've helped do this. we're reaching to a new demographic here. Tonight after the show, we're going to be adding a post to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com Hagman Report. We're going to be adding a new post to our Facebook page tonight, right after the show. And here's what we're going to do with this. You ready? Now, I know some people, I don't like Facebook. I get that. I understand. But this is going to allow you, the viewers and listeners to this program, to ask anything you want of us within reason. I just happen to think of some questions that could be asked that, nah, come on. Be sensible about this. We're going to be answering them during the show tomorrow. Tomorrow night. During tomorrow night's show, we're going to be answering them. So be sure to ask something you've always wanted to know the answer to, whether it's about programming or whatever it might be. It can be something related to our current events or our guest speakers or anything you want our opinions on, whatever it might be. This is a new venue where you can actually ask us questions, and this is going to appear tonight after tonight's show on our Facebook page, and that's facebook.com/Hagman Report. Now, in the future, Joe and I are going to be doing more Q&As, most likely on the weekends, on either Facebook or Twitter. Now, Twitter is twitter.com/Hagman Report. That'll be answered online and during the show in real time. It's our way of connecting with each one of you. All right. If you'd like access to our future behind-the-scenes footage and pictures, oh boy, be sure to follow us on Instagram. I don't even know what that is. Username Hagman Report. So they tell me that there's some pictures of Jackie said, you better check the pictures on Instagram of you. You got some not so flattering pictures on Instagram. I got to check that out. Videos. Username Hagman Report us as well on Instagram. So do that. Facebook, facebook.com Hagman Report. We're at tonight after the show, the viewers and listeners, you can ask us anything you'd like within reason. I mean, don't be silly, because we're not going to entertain silliness. But you can be out there a little bit too, and we'll give you our answers on air tomorrow night. How's that? Does that work for you? I think so. It's going to be fun, Joe.
Yes, it will. We're going to go back to something that both Dave Hodges and Rick Wiles talked about on our show. Folks, if you joined us late, Rick Wiles was with us for the first hour. He is the host of True News, the radio show that airs each and every weekday and has aired for the last 18 years, and is one of the top Christian shows in the nation. And Dave Hodges from The Common Sense Show, they both mentioned about Russia, and specifically the State Department. Now, Russia has come out and said that the U.S. has always been the main sponsor of the Islamic State. Wait, that wasn't Russia. That was the former CIA contractor to Russia Today. The U.S. claimed that Russian troops will go home in body bags if Moscow doesn't end its Aleppo offensive is absurd, former CIA contractor Stephen Kelly told RT. He said Russia is the only answer to defeating ISIS. Other experts also weighing in on the subject. When asked about State Department spokesperson John Kirby's warning that Russia will continue to send troops home in body bags if it doesn't put an end to the offensive, Kelly said Washington is pretending to be fighting Islamic State when it isn't doing so at all. Well, the State Department has threatened terror attacks in Russia if Moscow keeps fighting ISIS. More Russians' lives will be lost, more Russian aircrafts will be shot down. In extraordinary comments that have gone virtually unnoticed by the media, U.S. State Department spokesman John Kirby threatened Moscow with terror attacks in Russia's cities and even shooting down of Russian jets if Vladimir Putin continued his fight against ISIS in Syria. Extremist groups will continue to exploit the vacuums that are there in Syria to expand their operations, which could include attacks against Russian interests, perhaps Russian cities. Russia will continue to send troops home in body bags and will continue to lose resources, perhaps even aircraft, Kirby told reporters at Wednesday's press briefing adding that if the war in Syria continues, more Russian lives will be lost, more Russian aircraft will be shot down. While the comments will obviously be presented by the media as Kirby claiming that these will be the consequences of Moscow's involvement in Syria, Russian Foreign Minister spokesman Zakharakov took the remarks as thinly veiled threats, and those will be perpetrated by moderate Syrian opposition groups, he said on a Facebook post. Just the ones that Washington has been unable to separate from al-Nusra for as long as 6 months. Don't you think that such ventriloquism about body bags, terrorist attacks in Russian cities, and lost aircraft sounds more like get 'em command rather than a diplomatic comment? They added. And folks, you can go to RT or InfoWars to continue reading about that story. Now, in other news pertaining to nuclear war, North Korea, nuclear war with North Korea coming? On Sunday, North Korea warned the United States that it could wipe out Manhattan with a single hydrogen bomb. And earlier this month, North Korea threatened to make preemptive and offensive nuclear strikes on the United States in response to aggression. Aggressive military exercises currently being conducted in South Korea and the U.S. military, by the U.S. military. So does nuclear war with North Korea actually pose a significant security risk to the country? According to the Washington Post, the entire west coast of the U.S. is within reach of North Korea's intercontinental ballistic missiles. The only question is whether or not North Korea's ultra-paranoid leader would ever actually press the button. And I would say our missile defense systems would be able to stop any launch by North Korea, North Korea nuclear offensive. All right, moving along here. I want to make sure we hit this story. I found this interesting. This is from the Business Insider. Did an interview. Jake Tapper did an interview with Obama, and Tapper's from CNN, and Obama and Tapper had some tense words over why he would not say radical Islamic terrorism. Now, President Obama sparred with CNN host Jake Tapper on Wednesday night in a tense exchange over Obama's refusal to use the phrase radical Islamic terrorism. During a CNN town hall event focusing on the U.S. military, Gold Star mother Tina Hutchins asked Obama why he wouldn't use the term. Some critics, including Republican president nominee Donald Trump, have argued that Obama's insistence not to use the term or to refer to terrorist attacks committed in the name of groups like the Islamic State or Al-Qaeda shows that he is not well equipped to fight terrorism. The truth of the matter is that it is an issue that has been sort of manufactured because there is no doubt, as I've said repeatedly, that where we've seen terrorist or organizations like Al-Qaeda or ISIL, they have perverted or distorted or tried to claim the mantle of Islam as an excuse for barbarism and death, Obama said. Obama later seemed to allude to Trump as he continued to answer Hutchinson's questions. I'll be honest with you, the danger is where we get loose in this language, particularly when a president or people aspiring to become president get loose with this language. You can see it in talking about Muslim Americans here and the notion that somehow we start having religious tests and who can come to this country and who is investigated and whether the Bill of Rights applies to them in the same way, Obama said. Again, Obama completely changing the subject and avoiding the issue of why he refuses to call terror radical Islamic terror or Islamic related. Well, right, he continues to say it's a perversion of the religion of Islam.
Right.
But yet, anytime they try to claim some right-wing, you know, religious advocate, you know, Christian suicide bomber or, you know, gun attacker, they have no problem using any other motive, religion, or narrative for their excuse for the attack, except when it comes to radical Islam. not only that, they protect it basically, you know, with their reputations from top down. I'm starting to wonder if Hillary Clinton herself isn't a Muslim. Just like John Brennan, just like Jay Johnson, just like Obama, just like every other head of state in our government.
Yeah.
Why else would we allow thousands, tens of thousands, plus into this country, unvetted, from war-torn nations that hate our country, with the sworn goal of invasion through immigration, in order to do everything in their power to bring us down through violence,
immigration,
and chaos.
Jihad.
Yeah.
In line with that, look, New York City, de Blasio, folks, I mean, this is the most ridiculous example of unbridled progressive mental illness that you'll ever see. Just 2 weeks after the terror bombings, the bombings in New York City, de Blasio is coming out and implementing this I Am Muslim, I Am New York campaign. I don't know whether you've heard of this, but
2 days after the event, attack, he came out and did something
similar. We had a
similar.
Picture. We have a picture. I don't know if Eric has it or... Okay. If not, don't worry about it. You can find it on the internet, folks. And don't worry about it, Eric, because it's... We're nearing the close of the program anyway, but a press release from the city on Monday explained that there's this new initiative out there saying that across the country, hateful speech has made Muslim residents the target of misguided attacks and threats. Baloney, show me the statistics. You have more threats and more attacks and more property damage and more assaults, not against Muslims. They're virtually non-existent. You've got more against the Christians and Jews. If you look at the reports of hate crimes as they're classified against synagogues and even Christian churches, you'll find that the far exceeds the Muslim. What do you call those Muslim churches? For crying out loud, it just escaped my brain there.
Mosques.
Thank you very much. My goodness. But look, you've got de Blasio, who just recently spent or allocated $265,000 of taxpayers' money to promote that. If you feel like a bilingual ad campaign to encourage transgendered individuals to use the bathroom that they feel most identifies with their sexual identity. See, so $265,000 into a bilingual ad campaign to promote transgender bathroom use. Now you've got de Blasio out there pushing this agenda of, well, I am Muslim, I am New York, and don't tread on me, baby. Instead of the Gazan flag, you've got the mosque flag or the Islam flag, that is.
The crescent and the star.
Yeah. So it's just ridiculous at its face. But see, this is how, and these are the increasingly desperate throes of the progressive Muslim mindset, the progressive globalist mindset. Islam, because Islam is easily weaponized, and that's the big thing. You cannot hijack and weaponize Christianity as quickly and easily as you can Islam, as we saw in World War II. That's what happened. Even before that and subsequent to that, Islam is being weaponized by the globalists. The Muslims, sorry, but they're being used as pawns as well. You can't make this stuff up. And what, 15 years after 9/11, for crying out loud. And if I would have stood, and I maintain this, and I say this, and you've heard me say this before, if I would have stood on the rubble of the Trade Center and said in 2008, we would have a president or a putative president in the White House with the middle name Hussein, and a Muslim CIA chief, and a second in command or a close aide to Hillary Clinton, who is a Muslim, in the State Department, you would have punched me right in the
Homeland
Security. Yes.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
How about this headline? I don't know how many people saw this today. Newspapers face death threats, lost subscriptions for endorsing Hillary Clinton. Anybody paying attention?
Yes.
Newspapers face death threats, lost subscriptions for endorsing Hillary Clinton. Now, I want to know, is this BS? Or are they trying to stir up hype here in claiming the victim? Or... Is this really happening?
Yeah, okay. We can bring the yak back. Yeah,
there's been a substantial amount of blowback, Cincinnati Inquirer editor tells The Wrap, after ending a decade-long streak of backing Republican candidates. Newspapers with a history of endorsing Republican presidential candidates are losing subscribers and even receiving death threats after endorsing Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump. The Arizona Republic's editorial board has received death threats since publishing its Clinton endorsement earlier this week, according to Arizona's NBC affiliate 12 News. It was the first time that the paper endorsed a Democrat in a general election since it launched in 1890. That's got to tell you something. Meanwhile, Cincinnati Inquirer Peter Batia said his paper has lost hundreds of subscriptions since its editorial board broke nearly a century-long habit of backing the Republican in the presidential contest. There has been a substantial amount of blowback, that's for sure. They told The Wrap, the people who are reacting are predominantly unhappy with the endorsement. And it goes on from there. But see, headlines like this make me wonder, because I see this headline, but I see five separate ones, which you mentioned earlier, that read as follows. Man beaten, where is it here? Shock video. Trump supporter attacked and beaten in California.
Yep.
And woman thrown to the ground for wearing Make America Great Again hat.
Yep.
Yep. And, you know, the ones about people stealing lawn signs. How about this one? Clinton names Merkel her favorite world leader. You cannot
make
this stuff up.
I saw that, and you got to wonder. Of course, she didn't name Obama that. Think about that. It wasn't Obama. The question was not your world female leader, or you know, no.
That's right.
So, whoa, a little bit of weirdness there. And Angela Merkel? I mean, of all the people? So, okay. That should speak volumes.
Goes on to say, Clinton trolled two White House opponents with a single response, dinging Gary Johnson and Donald. Gary, who cares about Gary Johnson at this day and age? He doesn't even know what country he lives in.
What's an Aleppo? Do you know what an Aleppo is? Is that kind of a car?
It's an acronym, is what he thought.
Oh. Yeah, Gary Johnson, though.
And you know, he was asked who his favorite world leader was, and he said, I'm having another Aleppo moment. And this is a guy that's running for third-party president. The other one, Jill Stein.
Jill Stein.
This is worn out for arrest or already had been arrested.
See, this, you know, the accelerated-headed guy, folks, remember this? It's one of these.
Well, anyway, the Democratic presidential nominee Thursday joined the discussion about politicians' favorite world leaders, a topic that went viral when Johnson, the Libertarian nominee, drew a blank when asked Wednesday to name a world leader he looked up to. Oh, let me think. Look, I like a lot of world leaders, Clinton said, bursting into laughter initially when asked about her favorite world leader during a gaggle with reporters aboard her campaign plane in Chicago. One of my favorites is Angela Merkel, because I think she's been an extraordinary strong leader during difficult times in Europe, which has obvious implications for the rest of the world, and more particularly our country. Angela Merkel's done nothing but destroy Germany through monetary policies to immigration policies.
And Merkel,
so much,
I believe,
so she's walked them back, wishing she's never done them in the first place. Her party has now fallen to the lowest party that they have in Germany. She has a favorability rating lower than the U.S. Congress.
Follow me on this. I truly believe there's something to this conspiracy theory. Okay? Think about this. Come here. Think about this. What would you say if I said I believe Angela Merkel is in fact the illegitimate offspring of Adolf Hitler?
I used to laugh when you said that, but the more I watch videos and documentaries, and the more I look at her face,
I'm gonna tell you something.
The more I'm not sure.
You know,
the more I think you say it, the more I think I believe it.
We know that the freakish doctors around Hitler did collect his essence, his seed.
We also know he didn't die in a bunker,
yes,
nor was he recovered by Russians.
And I'm with Peter Levenda. I believe that Hitler died in Indonesia. And the Boys from Brazil, that movie, it's a very interesting movie. Watch the movie. That should be a home. I'd never saw the Boys from Brazil until, about 2 weeks ago. It was, I don't know, it was a holiday or something, and it was like 3 a.m. and I turned it on the computer and watched it on YouTube. Boys from Brazil. Freaked me out. But listen, watch that movie and think about what I said about Merkel, who she is. And the reason I bring this up is you gotta look at the birth dates and you gotta understand the Hitler, programming or the Hitler stuff that went on. I do think it's possible.
And you can watch it a step further in Jack Parsons and Babylon working with Hillary Clinton.
Yes. Yes.
I want
that would explain it. That would explain a lot, way.
And folks who don't know what I'm talking about, you'll have to look into Babylon Working and the
Jack Parsons
result of that. How about the University of Michigan? Go blue, right? Not so much anymore. University of Michigan professor is instructed to stick to preferred pronouns. What does that mean? Yesterday, the University of Michigan unveiled a new webpage that allows students to choose their preferred pronouns, including they or ze. Meaning you can't say he, she. You have to say whatever mammal or I don't know what. Preferred pronouns will appear on class rosters. If a professor accidentally uses the wrong pronoun, you can acknowledge that you made a mistake and use the correct pronoun next time, said the university's provost and vice president for student life and campus wide.
You know, something though,
what they're doing here is they're
crazy.
They're using the University of Michigan, one of the top law schools in the country, used to be at least, and is just going down the tubes with the rest of these horrible snowflake generation schools with this, adopting the 32 Baskin-Robbins flavors of gender or whatever they have. What are those? 31.
How'd you know that? Why did you know that?
It's a good question.
Oh, ice cream. I thought you were talking about the pronouns.
I think they're the same amount. How many are they the same? 31? We'll figure it out.
Oh, man. Well, even mispronouncing a person's last name is now considered a microaggression and punishable by a slap on the fanny or something. I don't know.
There's a simple answer for me. Just call everybody you. Hey, you. Hey, you. Can't go wrong.
Folks, boy, this is going to get me banned from everything. There was a cartoon recently where to avoid the confusion with respect to the last names, especially of people from, the Arab countries, call everyone Hajj or Haji. It was a cartoon. Now, this isn't me, okay? That's pretty bad, right?
The word has some kind of significant meaning.
Haji?
Yeah,
Haji. Johnny Quest, those stuff. You know, it's perhaps in poor taste. So I'm probably going to get slapped for that. And here come the emails, I'm sure. Well, silly me. Folks, go ahead.
Well,
we've done it. We another one in the can.
We've reached the end of the broadcast. It's great to be back.
And if you weren't paying attention, don't forget Facebook, tonight after the show, Jackie, our just a gorgeous, intelligent daughter, is going to be putting up, adding a post to our Facebook page, which will allow you, the viewers and listeners, to ask anything you'd like. We'll be answering them during the show tomorrow. Be sure to ask something you've always wanted to know. Now keep your questions. Come on.
No, we're going to do, like the first hour news and then maybe the last 2 hours questions.
Well, we'll integrate it, I'm sure.
Both throughout.
We'll integrate it. Leave a comment on the post with your question. In the future, Joe and I are going to be doing more Q&As, using social networking. This, God bless my daughter and, her knowledge of the social networking features. So good. I mean, I want to thank Rick Wiles and Dave Hodges for their appearance tonight. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening, for supporting us, for your prayers, for your cards, your letters, your notes in the mail. Read them all. We read them all. And your emails as well. We read them all. Can't respond to every one of them. But thank you. Thank you. We're a listener-supported show. We thank you for that as well, for your support of our broadcast. And if you do own a small business you want to advertise, look at HagmanReport.com. There's a place down in the body. It says click here for opportunities, advertising opportunities. Hey, you could be the next Pro Flowers. Who knows? Folks, until tomorrow, stay safe. God bless. Saddle for battle.